Welcome into the What's Up Peoria podcast, where we are dedicated to introducing you to the people, places, and events that happen in our amazing city. This is where those who work in Peoria can connect with those who live in Peoria. We hope you discover something new with us. Here are your hosts, Cammy and Gabe, on the What's Up Peoria podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to What's Up Peoria. I'm Gabe, and I'm joined here with my co-host, Cammy.
Hello.
And we have got a special interview today. We don't have just a single guest. We have two guests with us today. We're going to be talking all things flora and fauna with Jose and Brianna. And I'd like to say hello. How are you both doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having us.
Doing great. Thank you.
And if you'd like to introduce yourselves proper, I'd go right ahead. Whoever wants to go first.
So I'm Brianna Wages. I work with the City of Peoria Park Rangers. I've been with City of Peoria Park Rangers for 3 years. We're patrolling all of our parks, including our big parks, including Paloma Park, Pioneer, and Rio Vista, and all of our mountainous trails. We have big trucks with park rangers on the side in case you guys have seen us.
I'm Jose, last name Cortez. I've been with Peoria for 2 years, a little over 2 years. I come from extensive background or, you know, history with L.A. County, 20 years of experience working there. So in total, over 22 years of experience as an animal control officer. You know, we deal with different calls here in Peoria. And again, like Brianna said, if you see us driving around, if you see me driving around, don't be shy. You know, just say hi. If you have any questions, I'll answer any questions you have.
That's awesome. I bet you've got some stories with 20 years in L.A.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, that's a part of the episode that I can't wait to hop into.
Oh, yeah.
But very exciting.
We have a lot of fun questions for you both.
Yeah. Well, we're so excited to have you guys here today to discuss all things flora and fauna. I know that Gabe and I are both big nature fans. I'm from Flagstaff, so lots of nature up that way. And we were really excited to have you guys on and kind of jump into everything wildlife, nature, plants, animals that you see across City of Peoria and even the surrounding areas. So let's dive right into it.
Yeah,
let's start with Brianna.
Sounds good. All righty. And we wanted to ask you a few questions because we love Peoria. We love the nature that surrounds us. But I feel like people who might be newcomers to Peoria kind of don't understand how diverse, biologically diverse the area is. And I want to know if you had any like common misconceptions you wanted to clear up for the layperson.
So a lot of people just think we're a desert and there's not a lot to look at other than just the dirt and the sun. We have a lot of biodiversity, not just in Arizona, but also in Peoria. We have a ton of different parks. Like I said earlier, we have Paloma Park. You go to Paloma Park and it's tucked right behind mountains and you get transported to this beautiful park that is just surrounded by desert. And then you can also get more diversity by just going down south. And we have a huge city park. It's called Pioneer Park. It's a beautiful park with a lake and everything, but you get more of that city feel. And they're just about 30 minutes away. A lot of people don't realize that you can get both of that in just such a short distance.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's really cool. And I know that we have the story walk at both of those.
Yeah.
Plus Rio Vista, but they go around the lakes. You can read a story. We even had like a contest last year. It was really cool that kids got to submit their own stories. So
my favorite part is when they have stories that they have to act out, and I'll be sitting there watching them, and they'll be doing their little like bear jumps. It's so cute.
Aw, I love that.
Doubles so, exercise. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Right before we started recording, you were actually telling us about all the donkeys that you guys see kind of on the regular up at Paloma, right?
Yes.
Like so herds of 25 donkeys.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any donkeys. I don't go out to Paloma too much because I'm not in North Peoria, but I've seen them around town. I know we have wild horses that are down by the Salt River, not exactly area of Peoria, but here in Arizona in the Phoenix area. But what are some other animals that people would be surprised, I guess, to know that we have here in Peoria that you guys see at the parks all the time? And you too, Jose. I mean, feel free to contribute to animals that you guys just see around our communities and our parks.
I see a ton of raccoons, and that's just not up in North Peoria. I see them also in South Peoria, right off of Thunderbird and 83rd. I saw a whole family of them.
Babies?
Yeah.
Babies
there
too?
Was like four babies. I was like, nah. Also, me and Jose has been walking the New River Trail, and we saw Cuadamundi.
Yes, Cuadamundi.
Cuadamundi,
yeah. And that was really surprising for us to see.
Mexican raccoons. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I've seen a Cuadamundi before, actually. They're kind of similar to our state animal. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. They don't look like they belong in this area. They look like they belong in the Amazon because they have a long ringed tail, right?
Well, and, some do, yes.
Okay, okay. And kind of just like almost lemur type face.
Yeah, a little elongated.
Yeah.
Snout, yeah.
So very bizarre animal that you wouldn't think you to see in Arizona. So you guys have actually seen those in this area?
Yes, I have.
Wow.
I've seen badgers as well. Not in Peoria necessarily.
Okay.
But in the state.
And badgers can be dangerous, yeah. Correct?
They're pretty ferocious animals. Mm.
Yeah.
Pretty fearless.
Holy smokes. Like honey badger.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so badgers, raccoon, donkeys. I know I've seen coyotes here on Centennial Plaza campus, City Hall campus. I've seen coyotes just walking across the street and
roaming
across
the
grass. Yeah. Do people have to be careful when they see animals like that?
I would recommend to be mindful of when you see coyotes, especially when you see them in large numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Anything above three,
is
know,
that
six.
Unusual?
It's not unusual.
It's not unusual.
That's how they roam. They roam in packs. So whenever you see a pack of three, four, five, six coyotes,
yeah,
and you're by yourself walking your small dog or even a medium-sized dog,
okay,
just be mindful of that.
Okay.
You know, you may become a target.
Yeah. You know? What about just like, would they normally bother a human that doesn't have a smaller animal?
They can. If they see that the human has, well, not that they see, but if they
weakness.
Feel that, yeah, if they sense any sort of weakness within the person.
Yeah.
Yeah. A small child, specifically.
Yeah. And I can imagine that with like resources, because it's such a dry climate, they're probably looking for water and food to some extent.
Well, they're
right?
very resourceful animals. So, you know, though anything, they'll scavenge for food anywhere, mainly in our neighborhoods, you know, trash cans, small dogs, cats, you know. So if you have a dog, small breed, do not leave it unattended, you know, in your backyards and in the front yard, thinking that the dog is going to be okay, because there's always that chance where you'll have a pack of coyotes or one or two of them just, you know, transiting the area. And next thing you know, your dog is gone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's scary.
Well, that's good. It's good for people to know that they need to watch out for that, because I think a lot of people, the misconception is that coyotes are harmless.
Right.
But people should be careful, especially like you said, if they're in packs. So that's a good tip to keep in mind. Javelinas as well. I know Brianna and I have talked previously about javelinas. We have a lot in this area, and I know that they can be a little bit dangerous as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. Never confront them, never chase them, go after them. Especially males, you know, the females are very protective of their young.
Yes.
Males are very protective of their pack. So if they feel that you're a threat, the males will usually, you know, make a charge and if you're in the way, then you're easy prey, easy target, you know, and those tusks can tear you to shreds.
Yeah. And they can't see very well. So sometimes they'll just run straight towards you when they're trying to get away.
Yeah. Oh, so they don't have good vision. They don't see very well. Okay.
Their sense of smell is a...
Okay. Yeah, it's like their highest sense. Okay. Yeah. Ooh, that's interesting to know. Okay.
Keep that in mind.
Very cool. Is there anything else, like, in terms of wildlife species that would be unusual or just like a fun and interesting facts that you would like to share?
Our bobcats.
Yeah,
bobcats. Okay. Yeah.
Occasional bobcat call.
And like relatively, like what is their size?
Are you talking about 30 pounds on a large adult male?
So in comparative to like maybe a small to medium sized dog?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Because I know sometimes when you see bobcats, people confuse them with regular house pets or like cats. I've seen that on the news recently where people approached bobcats thinking they were domestic pets, but they're wild animals.
Well, they'll confuse them with cougars, you know, the mountain lions.
Cougars, yeah, you know, okay.
Which is totally different species, but yeah.
Do we see any mountain lions in this area?
We haven't gotten any calls for mountain lions.
Okay.
I know they're out there.
Yeah.
Mainly in the desert, you know, areas, but not in the populated areas, you know, per se.
Yeah, that's good to know.
With all that in mind, you know, the dangers that you could face coming across any of these wild animals, what kind of measures, Brianna, do you and your department and you too, Jose, take in order to ensure that Peoria citizens and our neighbors in nature live together healthily and harmoniously?
So parks, we actually have a bunch of wildlife corridors, Skunk Creek and New River Trail. They're actually wildlife corridors, so you'll get the animals that are traveling from north and then down south to the Salt River. We have a bunch of mountain preserve and everything. We hike in areas. Those are just reserved for the nature versus being development and everything. With this City of Peoria Park Rangers, we actually have a code in place that prohibits anyone to feed, touch, things like that of any of the wildlife. That includes our ducks, our geese, anything, the burrows you guys can't touch. I wouldn't recommend that, really.
Yeah.
And then at Paloma Park, we actually have a bunch of venomous snakes that like to slither in, and then also some poisonous toads, too.
Oh.
So those are big to watch out for. We do usually have a bunch of signs out, or we'll block off areas when needed.
Wow. Poisonous toads?
Yeah, yes. So that's the Sonoran Desert Toad.
Had no idea. Yeah. Okay.
So if you have dogs, be mindful of when you see a toad. You know, don't let your dog wander.
Lick it or,
Right. Just, you know, be okay with the dog touching or getting near the toad.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Do you, what, it's called a Sonoran Desert Toad? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to have to look that up because I'm curious what they, how we would identify it. Like, what do they look like?
They're usually really big toads. And then sometimes they have the orange spots on top.
Okay.
Greenish, grayish tint.
Yeah, and they normally come out during monsoon season, so about right now is the best time to see them.
Okay. I wouldn't have known that about not feeding the ducks and stuff, too, and I'm sure that as park rangers, you guys see that a lot at our bigger community parks like Paloma and Pioneer because they both have lakes. They both have bodies of water. Yeah. So that's good to know as well. Do you have to ticket on that, or when you see it, do you just,
ask? It's usually a gentle education because it's normally like a five-year-old kid doing it.
Right. And they come with their bread scraps in the bag to,
So we like to have them have their own diet and fend for themselves because once people start feeding these animals, then they start coming up to us and all the park patrons and then getting into really like places where it's not as safe for them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Would not have known that.
Yeah, same thing for us. You know, it's like whenever we see people trying to interact with wildlife, you know, it's we use that time to educate and, you know, just let the people know that it's not okay. You know, animals should be left alone. That if there's an animal in need, whether it be an emergency or you know, just animal being aggressive, for us to be contacted first, our police department to be contacted first so that, you know, we can have the proper personnel respond to those calls.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty natural lead into one of our next questions, which was advice for Peoria residents who struggle to go outside during the summer months. It's so hot here, but they still want to utilize our parks and trails and, you know, get outside and enjoy nature. I know park rangers have a lot of different programs and stuff year round. What would be your suggestion for Peoria residents in the hottest times of the month when they still want to get outside and be engaged?
So I recommend that you guys hike early and you take advantage of the cool mornings. A lot of surprising things is that I would recommend hydrating before, even the day before, still way hydrated. And it makes a huge difference when you're hiking in the heat. We have programs coming up. If you're not comfortable hiking by yourself, I have some night hikes actually coming up. It's on the PeoriaAZ.gov website. And we're hoping if we when we hike during the night, it'll be a bit cooler versus hiking during that hot sun. And then we also have splash pads at all three of our community parks.
Yes. That's a great way to stay cooled off and enjoy beautiful scenery around you, too, especially at Paloma. It's gorgeous out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the nighttime hikes is something new that you guys are kind of doing.
Yeah, so we'll be having a Halloween hike during the evening at Paloma Park on October 26th.
On the 26th. Okay, so that's the Saturday before Halloween.
Yeah.
Yep.
We wanted to keep it close to Halloween, but still close enough that you guys still have your costumes.
Awesome.
I think now is a good time for us to lead into our next segment, the Poetry Corner. I've got something for you from a local poet. His name's Ricky Sinha, and he was actually the winner of the National Poetry Contest 2024, the adult category. for this poem. It is called The Doorbell Lizard. I feel like it was an appropriate one to bring to you both, since it's got to do with our lovely desert wildlife. All right, and I'll start right now. When we moved to the house late in the spring, a twitch caught my eye, a slippery thing. It had just been born after the cactus blooms, when the sun rose high and the temperature swooned. A baby lizard with stripes on its tail. But where did it live? Let our journey set sail. I watched like a stone, or a bird, or a tree, for I knew it in turn was watching for me. I had to blink. I could not stand still. And just when I did, its skin grew pale. It darted to the left. It sped to the right. It panicked. It fret. It clearly took fright. And then, by some luck, some chance and good skill, it found a crevice, a hiding place still. It sneaked under the doorbell, placed next to our door, somewhere not looked or thought of before. Save for now, the lizard sat still, hiding in place where no one else will. I smiled for a while, for now our new home was a place for my family, but not ours alone. We made a new friend, one of millions I know, who call Arizona the place where they roam, where there's plenty to eat, the insects a buzz all summer long, a bountiful song. At night, when the porch is lit up, you'll see the lizard sits and waits for a cricket to be drawn by the light, a siren till dawn that keeps food coming, its trick all along. With a snap of its tongue, at dizzying speed, our lizard can catch all that it needs. So day after day and night after night, the doorbell lizard felt pure delight. Safe at home with insects to eat, the lizard grew big and strong and neat. Until one year later, we met again, when bringing home groceries, and then it darted to its doorbell, its forever home, where I saw it full grown, a baby no more. The lizard didn't fit. Its tail stuck out a little bit. I didn't tell it. I left it alone. My favorite lizard, this is still your home. Stay as long as you like, as long as it's safe and warm and happy, a place to feel brave. So if you visit me and ring my doorbell, be nice and kind to my friend within, and don't tell him he no longer fits in.
Oh,
that's really sweet. I'm sure a lot of us can relate.
Sweet?
Yeah, we can probably relate to that story. We all probably have a doorbell lizard, right?
I've seen a few.
Yeah. Just in the cracks of our walls. And that was, a local poet, Ricky Sinha. He's a really cool guy. Got to actually talk with him over email. And
nice.
Very, very nice. Very cool. But thanks for listening. Did that bring to mind any experiences you've had with lizards? I know it's probably pretty innocuous lizard experiences.
Here in Arizona. Yeah.
Happens all the time.
It's just a general approach with animals, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. That gentle awareness and letting them be. I absolutely adore that poem because I'm from Arizona and geckos are a part of our state. I feel like, you know what I mean? I feel like everybody has a doorbell lizard. When I get home to my apartment every night and I, get to my keypad and I'm opening my door, there's usually two or three geckos crawling around. And my parents would always say not to leave them be because geckos are really good for eating spiders and things that you don't want in your house.
Scorpions.
Spiders, scorpions. Yeah. So I was a lizard fan growing up too. I had an iguana and a water dragon and I loved geckos. So I just identified with that because I was like, yes, that is so Arizona because everybody has one of those little doorbell geckos.
Mm-hmm. That's a really sweet poem.
Yeah. Local author too. So very cool.
Alrighty. And now we wanted to switch gears and let's ask Jose a few animal control officer oriented questions. I know that you probably get all kinds of calls constantly about all kinds of different animals. What sort of wildlife calls do you end up seeing or getting?
Here in Arizona is the javelina calls, the occasional bobcat, the burros, the donkeys on the roads. Just in general, injured goose or geese.
Okay.
Injured ducks. So it's just a limited amount of wildlife that, that we get calls on. But it's enough to keep us busy and, active with the wildlife here.
But yeah, besides calling you, is there anything, any advice you'd like to give anybody? Just general advice, or is it kind of a moment-to-moment sort of situational thing?
It is. Every call is very specific. Mm-hmm. It has its own dynamics. And when it comes to handling animals, my advice to people is just to be very careful mm-hmm. when approaching an animal, whether it be a dog, a cat, or wildlife. Mm-hmm. Let the experts deal with it. And I call myself an expert because I've been doing this for over 20 years. I know how to approach most animals.
Yep.
And even when with having this experience, there's always that risk of being injured by the animal. Mm-hmm. So it's best to let the animal be,
yeah.
give it space. If you are able to monitor where the dog is or the animal is, just do that for us instead of, intervening, hands on.
Yeah.
It's just, I'd rather you tell me, well, the dog or the animal went in a certain direction or is laying under a certain bush or, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's more useful and helpful for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a different question. So when you get calls and you find that animals are injured, because I know that this happens too. I know that there are some organizations across the valley that will take wild injured animals, like rehabilitation centers.
Right.
How often does that happen? And what are some of the, I would just like to hear some of your stories about some of the calls that you've responded to that were either removing an animal or an injured animal that had to be taken to some type of rehabilitation.
Well, we work with a number of animal rescue groups mm-hmm. that will come out and assist us in taking over animals,
okay.
Wildlife and
even like wild,
animals.
Not domestic animals. Oh, okay.
Some
both.
Animals,
okay.
Yeah, just both. Yeah. So, what we do is whenever we get our hands on a particular animal of, whether it be a domesticated animal or a wildlife animal or, wild mm-hmm. animal.
Yeah.
We'll contact these groups and let them know what we need, what our needs are for this particular animal.
Okay.
And we'll set up a meetup or we'll deliver the animal to them.
Okay.
And that's how we get the animals to the right place to, get
nice.
The right treatment or to be properly taken care of. Because what we have in our city is a temporary holding facility.
Okay.
Which it's just kennels. We have 18 kennels, just enough room for holding on to animals for a couple of days up to a few days, mm-hmm. but no longer than that.
Yep. That's cool.
It is. It is very good. Important to know what the next step is going to be.
Yeah.
For any particular animal, so that we're not, holding on to this particular animal for an unnecessary time.
Especially if they're injured, and getting them into the hands of people who know how to deal, with their care.
When it comes to domestic animals, dogs and cats, if we pick them up and they're injured, broken legs, broken backs, just scars on their faces, bodies. Mm-hmm. We deliver those animals to one of our local vets here in the city,
okay.
and they're very gracious to assist assist us with that,
taking the
animals and providing care for them, and then relocating those animals or transferring those animals either back to us or back to or out to Arizona Humane Society.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
you're kind of like the EMS of the
animal.
You know what I mean?
Like
you're like the emergency responders.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Very
for that
cool.
Too.
The best training that we all get, as we all know, is hands-on experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doing the job on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So it's, that's where it comes from.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's good to know we have an expert like you here in Peoria managing all these wild calls.
Well, I just enjoy what I do. It's like I've been doing it for so long that it's become something
that's awesome.
I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And that's even better.
And it's a service, it's a service of, mm-hmm. To the animals and to the people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jose.
Yeah, thanks.
And Brianna.
Yeah, both of you. Thank you for your time. Are there any upcoming events that you'd like to mention
or programs
that you haven't already or mm-hmm. Harp back on if you want to restate them?
So like I said, we're just starting our outdoor education programs again. They're going to be listed all on peoriaaz.gov. And then also GAIN, we both might be at GAIN in October, so come say hi.
Yeah.
All right.
You may see me just drive through because I'll be handling calls at, during that time.
You'll be working
I'll be working.
Make sure you wave to Jose and Brianna.
And GAIN is Getting Arizona's Involved in Neighborhoods. right? That's what it stands for.
Yep.
I know that public safety, and that's a hot emphasis of that event. Yes. So, okay, awesome. Well, this was wonderful. Thank you guys so much for being on the podcast and sharing all your knowledge with us. We could continue going, but we're getting to the point where we probably got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
But thank you. Yeah, just thank you for sharing everything on what park rangers do, our animal control unit, and all the cool things that you guys are doing between wildlife and our community. Very cool.
Thanks again, and we'll see all around probably the city, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, thank you.
Absolutely. Now we know who you are. Like, I hadn't met Jose before, so I do work with Brianna, but now it's like facial recognition. I'll be able to say hello, and I know how to root people if they've lost an animal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of those things I honestly did not know. So
same.
Yeah, the microchipping process, the hold center that's over off of 75th, so I think it's great information for our residents.
Yeah, bringing awareness to people.
And the donkeys at Paloma.
Yeah, the donkeys at Paloma.
Don't pet them.
Do not pet them.
Don't pet them. Don't approach. Just like Jose said.
Yep.
All right. Okay, it's time to tell you all about our upcoming programming and events for the month of October. And I'm going to tell you the stuff that's happening with the library. First, a quick FYI. Monday, October 14th, the libraries are both going to be closed all day for professional development. Don't worry about turning anything in or returning anything to the outside book drops. It's all going to be closed. Just return everything next day, Tuesday. No big deal. There are no overdue fines, so it's nice and relaxed for y'all. Next up, on Friday, October 18th, from 3:30 p.m. to 4:30, Arizona Broadway Theater is going to be presenting Simply Silly Shakespeare at the Peoria Main Library. It's going to be a hilarious 45-minute comedy special for all ages. No registration or fees required. They got songs, skits, and interactive performances, so be sure to check that out. And on Saturday, October 19th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., we've got the Fall Fest at the Peoria Main Library. Games, crafts, kid-friendly activities, food trucks, so much stuff at this cool event. And you can attend at no charge. We do encourage you to check out all of our wonderful local vendors who will be there, though.
Yeah, thanks, Gabe. And then I'll cover a couple of the upcoming city events. We've got on Saturday, October 12th, from 5 to 8 p.m. is the event that was actually mentioned in our episode today, Getting Arizona Involved in Neighborhoods, the GAIN event. This is a public safety night at Pioneer Community Park. PD and Fire Medical are putting together this awesome free family event with all kinds of great activities and safety information for everyone. So definitely check that out. Again, GAIN on October 12th from 5 to 8 p.m. Next after that, on October 19th, we have the continuing of our film series, Made in Arizona, at the Peoria Center for the Performing Arts. So this month we will be showing Raising Arizona. It's a free screening, and then there will be moderator comments at the end. It's a great time to come out and get engaged and learn about films that were made here in Arizona. 9:30 a.m. at the Peoria Center for the Performing Arts on October 19th. The next one is our Halloween Monster Bash on October 26th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Peoria Sports Complex. So lots of trick-or-treating. This is a free event as well. Live entertainment, a costume contest, some dynamic performances. We're going to have some circus performances, a dance party, all sorts of really fun stuff. So that will be on October 26th, again, 5 to 9 p.m. At the Peoria Sports Complex.
A lot of awesome and fun stuff to look forward to for the community. I know that I'm going to be at a few of these at least. And as always, everybody, make sure you check our website for full calendar of events. You can go to the library's website. It's got city and library events on there. Or if you want to go to peoriaaz.gov, there's also all kinds of events you can see on there. But, of course, with the library, since I'm your library rep here, we have weekly story times, monthly book clubs, Dungeons & Dragons sessions, so much stuff that I didn't even mention. So make sure you check out our calendars and come to our events. They're really cool stuff. And that is all the time we have for today. But thanks so much for tuning in. It was nice to be able to host with you, Cami.
Thanks, Gabe. You too. I'm looking forward to our next episode.
I am too. And all of you can look forward to listening to Jenny and Patrick next time for another great episode in October later this month. You take care, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the What's Up Peoria podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. If you'd like to connect with our team, please email us at whatsuppeoria@peoriaaz.gov. Until next time, this is What's Up Peoria.